ourselves? Isn't it true that we all have areas in our lives where we know that we need to change? We need a behavioral change. So what I'm saying this morning is, in order to accomplish a behavioral change, you have to examine whether you're believing the truth or whether you're believing a lie that is the foundation of what of why you're acting a certain way, why I'm acting a certain way. Okay?
Good. Great. Thank you. That was really good. I just wanted to say that. All right. So it's Christmas, so, you know, we wanted to throw a little Christmas in. Let's talk about Mary and Joseph. So here's a young couple. They're promised to each other. They're going to get married. They're in love. They think they're going to have a beautiful wedding and hope to have lots of children and have a normal life, serve their community through carpentry. They wanted to make sure that Nazareth had lots of good tables and chairs and cabinets, right? It's a good plan. It was man's plan for them, not God's plan. God does not want us to have ordinary lives. He wants us to have extraordinary, live the life he's dreamed for us to live. Adventures that are specifically and awesomely and personally crafted for you from God's hand. Even if you do what others think of as ordinary, it's an adventure to you. It's God's blessing on you. You see the awesomeness from God because you know you couldn't do all those things just in the natural. God is doing supernatural through you. Amen. And you're having supernatural results. So here's Mary. The angel showed up and barged in on Mary's quiet existence. Even though she was a teenager, so I'm not sure how quiet all of that was, you know. But guess what? She believed the angel. She believed what the angel said. It took her a little while, and she said, well, how can this be? But it wasn't out of unbelief. It was not out of unbelief. It was more informational. She was asking God, well, really, how can this happen? And you know, God wants to explain it to us. He is mysterious and wonderful and awesome and otherworldly, but he wants to explain all that to us so that we can be super on our natural. And that's what happened with Mary and Joseph. She said, how can this be? You know, and it was a really good question. The angel explained enough to satisfy her at that moment. He said, you will have a son, and he will be the Son of God. It's all right there in Luke 1:35. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. This will be supernatural because with God, nothing is impossible. You know, we may not have that same experience, but we do know the Holy Spirit is overshadowing us. He wants to overshadow us and help us do supernatural in the natural world that we live in. So, you know, Mary needed to know that with nothing, God, with God, nothing is impossible. She needed to know that for her life. And we need to know that too, because we're at the time in history where we know there's supernatural being released from God. There's miracles. There's signs and wonders. And he's doing it through us. We're his people. And he's going to do it through us. So we need to believe like Mary did. Nothing is impossible with God. She needed that faith. And I think when the angel spoke it to her, he like infused faith into her to believe. Because nothing like that had ever happened before, really. Nothing like that had ever happened or will happen again. That was the one and only time. Jesus is the one and only Son of God who's fully God and fully man. Amazing. Amazing how God did that. Even the angels were amazed. But Mary believed. She had faith to believe. Do you know how we know she believed? Remember what Eric said? She acted on it. Her behavior showed that she believed. The angel said in Luke 1:36, the angel said, "Your relative Elizabeth has also conceived in her old age." And Mary knew that was a miracle, right? That's like, I don't know how old she was, but that's like me having a baby. That's a miracle. Mary said, "I'll do whatever Amen. The Lord wants." Listen, we love babies in this church, right? Mary said, "I'll do whatever the Lord wants. Let it be to me according to your word." And Mary rose and went with haste to see her cousin Elizabeth, because she believed what God said to her through the angel. She knew that it was truth. It was truth to her. Wow. And it was bringing truth to her. It was a good thing she made the trip. You know, she might be supernatural, but she lives in the natural world. And she needed that confirmation. And everything the angel said was true. Elizabeth, in her old age, even though she had been barren all of her life, was going to have a baby. And we all know that baby is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. And when Elizabeth saw Mary, she prophesied. She wasn't even beginning to show yet, I'm sure, you know. Elizabeth prophesied to her, said, "How amazing it is that the mother of my Lord would come to me. And then she said, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Belief is very important. Belief is one step on the way to fulfillment. God cares about results. He wants the results in your life. And belief is very, very, very important. That's another reason it's important what you believe. Faith comes and matches what you're believing. What you believe for, faith comes and matches it. And you will have what you really believe. You know, we need to understand that that's how believing works. It's supernatural. The action of your faith reflects what you really believe. With Mary, what she believed carried her through when others didn't believe and when the way ahead of her was really challenging and hard. It's nice to throw a little Christmas in there, right? We got more for you.
Well, and let me go on by saying, talking about Joseph a little bit right here. Joseph was the first person not to believe her, not to believe Mary, because can you blame him? I mean, who had this ever happened before? How is a virgin going to have a baby? Right? It just doesn't happen. So this is Joseph's thinking. Remember we said before, God's truth goes beyond our five senses. Right? Okay? But so you can't really blame Joseph. Right. So, but if we read the passage, it says in Matthew 1:18, and I'm going to read 18 and 19. The birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and I would say just a man, right, and not wanting to make her a public example, he had in mind to put her away secretly or to divorce her, you know, quietly, you know, and not make a public example of her. Okay? So he was acting according to a belief. He believed that she was no longer a virgin, and he was going to act on that. Okay, but let's see how he changed his behavior. Let's go on and read verses 20 and 21. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Okay, so now Joseph is being told the truth, and he is now choosing to believe another set of facts. Okay? And he's allowing his change in belief to change his behavior. Okay? Yeah. Now let's skip over and read and go to verse 24. Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So, his belief system changed, and then his behavior changed. And he was immediately obedient to what God had told him to do. His actions were evident that his beliefs had changed. No longer was he going to divorce her or set her aside, but he was now going to take her and still be married to her. He was just going to wait until Jesus was born. And then they were going to be married. Okay? So you understand, we do the same things. We have the opportunity to do the same things. When you're confronted with the truth, sometimes the truth confronts us. When we've gone for years and years and years believing a certain thing, and then we find in the Word that, ooh, you know, I'm wrong. Anybody have a problem saying they're wrong? Everybody ought to be raising their hand, because I have a problem admitting that I've been wrong, especially if I've been wrong for years and years and years. But imagine being confronted with an impossibility, something that God is saying that has never happened before. And then realizing, ooh, I'm wrong about the way I'm thinking or about the way I'm acting. And now I've got to change to get in line with the truth of what God is saying. I think that is a vitally important point that each of us needs to understand and be willing to let God accomplish in our lives. Yes.
Oh, you know, we wanted to throw in a personal story here because stories are how you connect. Jesus told lots of stories. That's how he connected with everybody. He was a great storyteller. So, you know, I tried to find a personal story. All of mine are from either way back or they're too current and too personal and they make me look bad, you know. But, you know, I did find one that is really close to my heart, and I wanted to share it with you of how God just changed how I was thinking, and it just changed everything for me. It was a good adjustment. My sister died a year and a half ago, and you know, very sad. We were heartbroken. And, you know, every holiday is a hard time. Every year, she's died a year and a half now. And it was her birthday last week. And, you know, but the Lord prepared me for it. He said before this, he said to me, Cindy, it was just, I needed the adjustment. He said, Cindy, your sister ran her race. She was tough and strong, and she ran her race. And you can be happy that she ran her race. And now She wants you to run your race. You don't have to live your life for her. I want you to live your life for me. And you don't have to live. She does not want you to be heartbroken anymore. And just when he said all of that sweet, tender stuff to me, it just lifted my heart and the heaviness lifted. And you know, I'm very thankful when I think of my sister and I pray for her children. But what I believed was important. You think you're supposed to be sad for a while, and you are, but then you let it go to God because he wants you to be joyful in him. And he did not want me living my life for her. He wants me living my life for him, you know? You know, it's like life happens and you have to keep evaluating and adjusting and letting God renew your mind, renew your heart, and help you live for him the way he wants you to live for him and according to the word. So, did I say that good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, good. there's so many more examples in the Bible of people and how their true beliefs were indicated by their behavior. In fact, it's pretty much everyone in the Bible. It's pretty much all of us. That's just what happens. So let's start with in the beginning. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, the very first people, they showed us that what you believe matters. What you believe really matters. So Eve was looking at the fruit, picking which one she would eat that day because she hadn't tried all of the fruit yet in the garden. And God had made a beautiful garden for them. And the devil, a serpent, the devil in a serpent form, said to her, "You will not die if you eat that fruit." And that was the exact opposite of what God had told them. The exact opposite. Now, she believed the lie. She believed she wouldn't die if she ate that fruit. That's why she ate it. She believed the lie, right? No. Your beliefs matter. Adam knew it was a lie. But in his heart, he was tempted too, you know? He was tempted. So, and we're not going to find fault with Adam and Eve when we get to heaven. You know, we totally understand how this works now. But notice how Adam let Eve go first. He was checking if she was going to die, right? Right? So she didn't. You do what you believe. I think that's in there. I do. So then he ate too. He disobeyed God. He ate the fruit also. They chose to believe the lie. And by eating the fruit, instead of believing the truth that God had told them point blank, you'll surely die. So we've had to deal with the consequences ever since. And of course, we think, how could they do that? How could they? It seems like such a simple thing. Just don't eat the fruit. The snake wants you to eat it so bad. And don't you think there's something behind that too, you know? But I say that because my eyes are open now. And their eyes were opened. And they knew right away that they had believed. They knew right away that death entered the world. I think everything changed. Death entered the world. Just remember, if a person believes a lie, their actions will show it. Or if a person wants to believe a lie, their actions will show it. But believing the lie does not make it true. Okay, very important. Believing the lie does not make it true. It is still a lie, and you will still have the consequences of believing that lie. Case in point, Adam and Eve. Case in point, us. You know, we really want what we believe to be true. We really want what we believe to be true, to be truth. But that is backwards. We must believe the truth. and not try to manipulate the truth around to what we want to believe in.
That's a good word,
right? That's good, right? That's Eric. I'm saying it. It was his words, but he let me say it. So, got to give credit where credit is due. But that's really being, like, dividing the truth. That's dividing, that's being understanding. And so Adam and Eve wanted what they believed to be true. They wanted what the devil was telling them to be true. But if the devil is telling you, you can count on it being a lie, right? He's the father of lies. If there's some truth in it, there's definitely a mixture if it's the devil telling you. And, you know, most of us can tell whether it's the devil talking to us or God talking to us or even ourselves talking to ourselves. There's three voices that you hear. There's God, there's the devil, there's your voice. And you, it matters who you agree with. You want to agree with God. Agree with God. Agree with the Word. Agree with the Word of God. It matters. It just makes a big, big difference in everybody's life. Agree with the Word of God. So we must allow the truth to determine what we believe. We must not just believe something and declare that to be the truth, which is what's happening a lot in our society now. If you think it through, there's a lot of people right now that are just believing what they want to believe and saying that's the truth. But it's leading them into deception. That's what we're dealing with in our culture now. There's deception from the enemy trying to come in. It's your turn.
You know, the scripture has many, many examples, and we could talk all day about examples, both negative and positive, but I want to share just a couple with you this morning. In addition to Adam and Eve, take the life of Noah. I mean, Noah, here's another thing that had never happened before. God said, it's going to rain, and I want you to build an ark. It had never rained before. So this is something that, you know, this is like the virgin being pregnant. You know, for God to say to Noah, it's going to rain, he had no idea what that meant. What does that mean? What does it mean it's going to rain? I don't have any understanding of that. But his behavior, because he believed God, his behavior reflected that he believed God. If he hadn't believed God, he wouldn't have built an ark. He would have just said, oh, you know, that's the, you know, the pepperoni I had on my pizza, you know, last night talking to me. That's not God. That's not, you know, it's not true. But instead, he chose to believe God and took action. His behavior meant that he took action to on the foundation of what he believed.
He believed God enough to build a huge big boat up on dry land.
That made no sense. Because God said it's going to rain, and
and everybody around ridiculed him.
Yeah, everybody else said, ah, yeah, the rain. Ha, ha, ha. What's rain? Right?
But okay. He saved his family. He saved his
and
life.
And humanity.
He saved humanity.
That's right. That's right. Another example from the scripture is Abraham. Abraham believed God. And the scripture tells us that he believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, right? The scripture tells us that. Now, God said to him, here's another thing that does not make sense, except that maybe some of us have had opportunities like this before where God has said to move somewhere. But usually we have in mind where we're going to move to, right? God said to Abraham, move from where you are and just start walking. And I'll show you, you know, I'll show you where I have, the place that I have for you, the land that I have for you, as you go. Right? So, would we do that today? Would if God said to me, I can probably tell you, I'm not sure how obedient I would be. Hopefully, I would be obedient. Yes.
You would be obedient.
Hopefully, I would be that. If God said to me, just start walking north. You're in South Florida. Just go north. Or go in any direction. Maybe he would say go east and I wouldn't have that far to go.
Let's get back to Abraham.
Right. But would any of you follow through with what you believed? Or would any of you believe God to the extent that you would actually let it change your behavior? I hope that we would. Because many times, day to day, God is trying to tell us something that's true that will change our behavior and bring his blessing on our lives. Amen. So Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he went without knowing where he was going. So I want to ask you, what is God... I'm going to pray right now. I'm going to ask God to reveal one thing to you, just as we continue through the rest of this sermon. I'm going to ask God one area in your life where he would like to see your behavior different from what it is right now. And I'm going to ask him to reveal to you what your underlying belief is that's causing you and me to behave in a certain way. Lord, I pray that you would bring revelation to your people right now and to me and Cindy. Lord, I pray that you would show us a particular behavior that you want to change, that you want us to change, and the belief that is underlying, that is foundational to why we are behaving that way. In Jesus' name, amen. So what do you believe? Do you believe the truth? Or is there an area in your life where you are either failing to believe the truth or you're actually actively believing a lie? That's a possibility. Are you seeking the truth? What is truth? Have you defined for yourself what the truth is? The truth is God's word. So how do all your behaviors line up with God's word? Ask yourself. The scripture says, let a person examine him or herself. So examine yourself. Do all of my activities, do all of my thoughts, do all of my words line up with the truth of God's word? Do you really say what you believe? Or do you really believe what you say? Right. Either way.
Okay. All right. So if you change your thinking, then you're changing your life. That's what God is saying to us today. You know, he wants to do a work in our lives. He wants to change our thinking, our beliefs, so that the results are pleasing to him. Jesus said in John 17:17, he said, your word is truth. So we know that everything that God says in the Bible is truth. And we want our lives to match up to what God says in the Bible. These are, you know, those 10 commandments. He didn't say 10 suggestions, did he? Those are for real. He means what he says. And the reason is it will give you a good life. It will give you a blessed life. He'll be able to bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. He'll be able to open the windows of heaven and pour out the blessing that you can't even contain, and it will affect you and your family and everyone around you and your generations, and you'll leave a legacy of righteousness and blessing from God for everyone. So that's what God wants for your life. That's the dreams he's living for you, is that you, that's the dreams he's dreaming for you, that you'll live your life completely for him in everything. So Jesus, in his manifesto, that's what the Chosen called the Sermon on the Mount. Remember, Jesus said, it's kind of my manifesto. Anyway, on the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 7, 24 and 27, Jesus said this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. Your house, your life, needs to be built on the rock, the truth of Jesus and everything that Jesus said, because everything you do comes out of what you believe. If your life is on a shifting foundation based on how you feel that day or what somebody else told you, and you, or how you grew up and your parents always told you that that was it, but it doesn't match up with the Bible. You know, some things that we believe just are not true, and we assess them and evaluate them and throw it out if it doesn't match up to God's word and to God's character, to his love and kindness and mercy. But, you know, if it doesn't match up, if your life is on a shifting foundation, the instability will show, and you'll cave in to things that you never thought you'd cave into. You know, look around you. People are doing things now that you never thought they would do. And that's just where it is in our society right now. We're in a time where we are having to take stock of our own lives and honestly evaluate and make sure that our foundation is strong, because we have to have an unshakable foundation, and that is Jesus. He's our unshakable foundation. When everything else is shaken around you, those things that can be shaken get shaken off of you, and what remains is strong and true and powerful and will remain to eternity. It's what you have from God will last forever. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said that to his disciples just a few hours before Pilate said, what is truth? He had just spoken, I am the truth. When your life is built on the truth of Jesus and what Jesus says, and you are genuinely trying to obey and live everything he says, everyone around you will know that. They'll see that. Your life will have a glory from God, that's just how God shines through you. But your foundation will be strong. When the floods come and when the storms of life blow through, your life in God won't give way. You'll stand true. Families go through tough things. We all do. But it's not a roadblock. It's just a bump in the road when you have God. He carries you through. He sees you through to the other side. And, you know, we've all experienced some hard times. We have. We've all even had some weak areas in our lives, in our belief systems, that have shown up during this hard time. I have, Eric has, believe me, Eric has. I'm just joking, Eric. No, we face them together. I pull for him and he pulls for me. And you know, God lives through us. So there's areas that we have believed that we've had to evaluate and sort through versus what we say we believe. We've had to dig into God's word and settle it. You know, at the end of 2019, Pastor Don said to me, I think we need to just start texting a verse to people every day because we need to be a people of faith, and your faith is built on the word. So why don't you start texting a verse with a little prayer every day, and that will help us grow together in faith, and we have to make sure that we are a people of faith. Well, nobody knew what 2020 was going to hold. She said that like in September or October to me, 2019. And since then, I've been sending out a verse every day. It's helped me amazingly, immeasurably. And you guys all get that, the result of that. So thank you for running this journey together, because we are growing together in faith. We've had to dig into God's word and settle it, settle what we believe, confess it. That means speak it. Confess it means speak it. And, you know, the word comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. You speak it over and over. You line up the world around you. You line it up to what God says. We've found out that your mindset, your thinking, what you really believe is so powerful that it has a definite effect. Think about it. You, by what you believe and what you act on, can restrict or withhold the power of God on the earth. That's a big responsibility, as well as a big revelation. We're the people of God. We don't want to restrict or withhold the power of God on the earth. We want to release it. But when you realize you have the choice.
That's right. The opposite of that is also true, in that by believing the truth of God, when you agree with God, you and I are available to release and advance the power of God on the earth. So if we believe a lie, we're restricting and we're a blockage to God's power being released. When we believe the truth and we act on it, we are advancing the power of God, and we're allowing a release of his power in the world today. When we agree with God and we believe his word, then we are able to stop what the devil is doing, because we come into agreement with God's word, and he is asking us, we are his people. He's asking us to be his mouth, his feet, his hands here on the earth, wherever we go.
Adam and Eve could have stopped it right then with them. And every generation since has had the responsibility and the opportunity. But we're doing it now in our generation. Amen. We're stopping what the devil is trying to do.
Amen.
We have the responsibility in our area of influence.
Amen. In 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I've shared with all of you before that is sort of like my life verse, the part of taking every thought captive and bringing it into obedience of Christ. But I would like to just sort of say, take every belief captive. Realize what you're thinking is closely identified with what you believe. So I'm going to look at it like this. I'm going to take what I believe captive and make what I believe obedient to Christ. I'm going to believe the word and follow through and let that change my behavior. So I'm going to take thoughts captive and I'm going to take my beliefs captive. And if I find a thought or a belief that is in opposition to God's word, I have to change. I have to change. When I see it in God's word that I'm wrong, I need to confess and say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've been wrong. And now I'm going to change. And I'm going to believe differently. I'm going to believe your word. And I'm going to allow what I believe and what I think to change my behavior. We are in charge of renewing our minds. You know, Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's our job.
Yeah.
That's our job to renew our minds. We had to think differently. We had to believe differently. In order to make progress and change our behavior to what God has designed for our lives. Pastor Don says it like this, give yourself an attitude adjustment. Take your thoughts captive and take your beliefs captive.
Amen. You know, on Wednesday we had a special speaker. Guy Sperduto and his wife Debbie came and they were such a blessing. He really talked about this, living your life on the word. And he had a handout of confessions he wanted us to make. You got yours. Good. They were such a blessing to us. But he said, he talked about this one verse too. He said, don't just take your own thoughts captive. Take everyone's thoughts captive. Take your family's thoughts captive. Amen. When we walk into a room, we're in charge of that room for Jesus, right? We own it. If you're a believer in God, then you're the one that is in authority. It's God's authority. All authority is God's authority. So if you're a believer and you're under authority, and then you're in authority. You're in the authority of God. So when you walk into a room, you have the power to change and line up. Change the atmosphere and line it up for God to have his way in that room. If things are out of order, you can take authority over that. If somebody needs forgiveness in that room, you can start releasing forgiveness to them. Wherever you go, we're walking in the glory of God now. And as Jesus is in the earth, so are we. And where you go, you can start being Jesus to them because it makes a difference. You're taking your atmosphere into that room. Pastor Don preaches that too. So I'm stealing this from Pastor Don, but she's watching, so it's good. You take your atmosphere, the atmosphere of God, wherever you go, and you line things up for God to have his way. You know, Revelation 12:11 says, we overcome by the blood of Jesus and by our words lining up to what Jesus says. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So when our words line up, our beliefs line up, we speak out of the fullness of our heart, right? When our beliefs line up to God's word, what Jesus says about us, about our family, about our situation, about the world, about the future, that's the truth. We're speaking the truth. And it becomes what we say and believe about ourselves, our situation, our future. We need to have more speaking the truth, more confessing the truth. You know, sometimes the people of God, they see things that don't line up and they just keep quiet. But God wants us to be like Jesus. People changed when Jesus was around. They ran and threw themselves at his feet. They won't at ours, but because we're not Jesus. But as Jesus is in the world, so are we. Just his presence straightened people up. And we can start carrying that authority and that glory. You know, there's people that drive by and they just pull into a church and give their lives to God because they were driving by and the glory of God came on them so strong. We're coming into that time again that, you know, everybody says we're coming into revival time, and we believe it. We feel it, even though it's just at the beginning, we're feeling it. The people of God know. And well, we know it because the prophets said it, the apostles have said it. A lot of times you're in it before you realize, and then you look back and say, oh, we're in revival time. We were already in it then. So it matters how you believe.
So you might be asking, well, so how do I do this? How do I believe? You know, how do I go through the process? So we have three easy steps for you. All right? We're going to say 1, 2, 3, done.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
It's just that easy. We're going to make it easy. The first step is to see it in God's word. All right? The first step is to see it in God's word. The second step is to make the decision to believe. That's an active thing that you choose to do. You make I see it in God's word. Okay, I'm going to believe it. That's number two. And remember the definition of truth. You're going to make the decision to believe that what God says is true, genuine, actual, and factual. And then, number three, is you take action. You see it in God's word, you choose to believe it, and you allow the fact that you chose to believe it affect what you do.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's right.
You find out what God says, you decide to believe it, you take action.
There you go. Now, the action might be that you have something to obey. You actually have something to do. Or the action might be that you are just speaking it, that you're just confessing it. A lot of times the Lord will give you revelation when you're at home, and he'll say a particular word to you, and your action at that time is to just pray it out, just speak it out. Sometimes the action is telling others. So sometimes you pray it out. Sometimes you find somebody else to give the good news to. Sometimes the action is consciously examining your own heart. Really, folks, I know in my own life, I don't do that enough. It ought to be an everyday activity where we examine our own heart. And make sure that we're on God's page every single day, every waking moment. In David's life, he found out that when his actions didn't match up to his beliefs and his love for God, he went to God, heartbroken and repentant. And he said, "Search me, O God," in Psalm 51. "You desire truth in my inward parts. Purge me, cleanse me, wash me. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore me. Deliver me." You have to push all the way through from repentance to being forgiven. And then the joy of being forgiven replaces the sorrow and the heartbreak of having disappointed God. God renews you. And the real you believes God. The devil tried to feed you a lie, but the real you is who you and Jesus say that you are. And the real you is the one that chooses to believe the truth of God's word. You're authentic. You are a man or a woman of God. The word, the truth of the word, works in our hearts and in our lives. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So you see how easy it is? You see it in God's word. And now you see how important it is to get grounded in God's word, right? Yes. Get the word off the page into your heart. God says he'll write it on your heart. All you have to do is read it, and he'll start writing it on your heart. You know, Hebrews 8:10 says, I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. So believe it. Let God write it on your heart. You see it in God's word, then make a decision that you're going to believe it. Believe it, receive it. Have it. That's how it works. Mark 11:24. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So you believe, you receive it. You have to get it from your head to your spirit. You believe, you receive it, then you have it. It's easy. 1, 2, 3. You take action. When you're serious, that's when you are serious that you believe it, that's when you take action. So, you know, getting back to Christmas, Mary took action. She said to God, let it be for me, just how you said. Joseph took action. He believed God spoke to him, and he got up and he did what God said. They were a simple couple, but look how they changed the world. You know, Joseph had 4 dreams, and after every dream, he got right up and he did exactly what God, like immediately, he got up and they did this. He got up and they did this. God wants you to know his will. He wants to reveal the awesome things that he has for you. By believing, really believing, and letting God do something awesome in them, Mary and Joseph changed the world. They did. They received the truth, literally. They received the truth. And they delivered it to the world. They believed it, took action. But we can change the world too. And it's by believing the truth, by acting on it. We can change the world by how we believe and by showing it. You know, we want to do an activation now. But so let me explain it, and then we're going to do one together, right?
Okay.
Oh, I'll let you explain it.
Right here?
Yeah.
Okay. So our activation, we have 3x5 cards and pens. And Mr. Dudley is going to give you one of each of those. And this is what we would like you to do today for this activation. Write down one thing that you want to change in your life or your behavior. One thing. Just so even right now, just ask God, what's one thing that how would you like me to behave differently? One thing. Okay? And then the second thing you're going to write on the card is write down what you think the belief is that is causing that behavior. Okay? Because if there's a behavioral change, we already discussed, there's something underlying that behavior in what you believe that you need to adjust and make you believe something different. Okay? Then step three on the card, ask God to give you a scripture, a verse that pertains to whatever issue that is in your life. Okay, and then you don't have to write down the whole verse. Just write down the reference or just write down the words that you can remember. God right now is bringing to your mind a scripture that he wants you to apply to your life that will change your life for the better. Okay? So those are three things. You're going to write down one behavior that you want to change. You're going to write down the belief that God is showing you that is underlying that behavior. And then the third thing you're writing down is a verse of scripture or words from the Lord that you know he's sharing with you right now that will allow you to change your behavior. Okay? Does everyone is getting it now? Okay. We're sorry for those of you over on the right that are only beginning to write now, but you've been thinking all along.
Do you want to tell your... Repeat it one more time.
Okay. You're writing down one behavior that you want to change. The second thing you're writing down is let God reveal to you some belief that is underlying that behavior. There's a particular belief or a failure to believe. Either you're believing a lie or failing to believe something God has said.
Or you're just passive about what he said. And he wants you to be active.
Okay. So that's the second thing. Write down what belief is underlying that behavior. And then third is find out what God's word, how he wants you to change your belief, what he wants you to believe differently in his word that will allow your behavior to change.
We're just taking a few minutes to do that, but then we're going to... Do you need a little more time? This part is usually quick because God knows you through and through, and he wants to do the tender things that he wants to do for you. You know, the verse, James 5:16 says, acknowledge your faults. Then he says, pray for one another, you'll be healed. For tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. James 5:16. You know, your belief is important. He does this for somebody who's a believer. You're believing what God says. All right. So just pray and give that to God.
Really quickly give you an example of how this worked for me this morning, okay? I was thinking about this activation. So we live in a very stressful time. Stress is huge in my life. I know stress is huge for probably all of us right now. We live in a very stressful time, right? So I'm identifying that stress in my life is a behavior that I would like to change. I would like to be not stressed out for the majority of my waking moments and sometimes in the middle of the night, right?
I have some thoughts on that. You can sing more.
That might stress you out. So that's a behavior I would like to change. So now, then I asked God for a scripture, and the scripture immediately came to my mind that I am failing to believe. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." He said, and he goes on to say, he goes on to describe what we are experiencing. In this world, you'll have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So now, how I'm going to apply that to my life is every time I feel stressed out, I'm going to remember that Jesus has given me his peace. And I'm going to choose to believe that. And I'm going to say that I acknowledge that in this world, I'm probably going to have some trouble. I'm probably going to have occasion to be stressed out. If Jesus was saying that today, he's saying, you're going to have an opportunity to be stressed out. But he says, take heart, be encouraged, because I have overcome all of those things that are causing you to be stressed.
You have grace for whatever your day holds, grace from God for whatever your day holds.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to do an activation together. Now that you've done your personal activation, we're going to do one together. It's one that we all have in common, maybe not Pastor Dawn, but us. Okay, when we say identify the behavior I don't want, how many of us have trouble spending time with God? You don't have to raise your hand. Like some people, you just don't have a reading the Bible time and a prayer time. But you want to change your life. You want to have more time. Maybe you have like a 1 minute and you want to expand it to 2 minutes, you know. But all of you have time to brush your teeth. Just saying.
We hope.
Just saying. Everyone has time to brush their teeth. God will take the little and multiply it as long as you start conscientiously, diligently, consistently giving him time. So that's one behavior that we've identified that we want to change, right? We want to spend personal time with Jesus. We want him to say the tender things to us that he wants to say. We want to take time to tell him what's on our heart and then get past that to just having sweet fellowship time, right? All right. So what's the belief or thinking behind that that needs to change? I don't mind if you call out.
Too busy.
Too busy. That I thought that would be the most common one. Too busy. Not enough time.
Not worthy enough.
Not worthy enough? Yeah, you're like, what if I get in there and God doesn't even show up? Right?
Not a setting aside the time. You have to purposely set aside.
Okay, so not worthy enough. Not setting aside the time. Not being, like, disciplined to set aside the time. All right. How about it won't make a difference. I'm still going to be the same. It won't change me. I realized that was going on in my head. I'll do all this. I'll do all this, and I won't get closer to God. And I mean, obviously, those are lies. But you don't realize that when they're just floating around in your feelings and beliefs. When you say them, you're like, oh, that's a lie. Of course it will change me. You know, of course God will meet me here. All right. So anything else anybody wants to add since we're doing this corporately? Yes?
Distractions when you're trying to spend time with God.
Distractions when you're trying to spend time with God. Right. Yes?
The little time I have isn't enough.
The little time I have is not enough. Yeah. Yeah, like the little time I have. Yeah. God, okay. So that's good. Anybody else want to add? We're good there, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what is the word that counteracts any one of those? You want to call it out, or do you have one? How about this one? Draw near to God, and I will draw near to you. James 4:8. That's a promise. Even a little time. Okay. Susie? Yes. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything else will work out. Jeff. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given to you. Give time and God will graciously expand your time. Amen. Amen. How about the worthiness thing, the unworthiness thing? Hebrews 6:11. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I mean, obviously you believe that he is. That's why you're here. Now you have to take the next step and believe that he's a rewarder. He cares about you. He made you, didn't he? He took the time to make you so beautiful. Your parents would love you and think you were so cute. He took all of that time. You're here. He took the time to find you and bring you to liberty, and you're sitting in these brown chairs. I think he likes you. He probably has your picture up on his refrigerator. You're worthy. You're worth it. You're worth it. Jesus, right there. He's the one that says you're worth it. Yes, Frank.
We don't just have Father God here. We have Jesus here. We have the Holy Spirit here. And he said he will never leave us and never forsake us. So everywhere we go, he's with us. And if we get to the realization that that is true, because as God said, it has to be true, then all of a sudden we're going to say, hey, you know, what I want to do for God because he lives here. And one of the things when we get miracles to happen with people we pray for, it's not us, it's him. He lives inside of us. It's nothing. We're just a channel.
Amen. Amen. All right, one more verse. It's a zinger. Get ready. It's going to hit you hard. Malachi 3:13-14. You know that. It won't make a difference. What little time I have won't make a difference. It won't change me enough. Okay. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his laws? But then the next verse 18, you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him. You want to spend time with him because he loves you. He really, really, really wants you to spend time with him. He's really grateful when you come into his presence. He just wants to bless you. And you already carry his name. You already bear his name. You're a Christ follower. You're a Christian. Everybody knows you're a Christian. So you need to spend time with him so that you live like him. Because we all have to take a step up and start living more like him in the world. So we're just going to repent together and receive forgiveness and let God renew our minds concerning spending time in his presence, and that even our 2 minutes is worth it. Amen. And let God expand it. Amen. Do you want to pray?
Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Lord, we just come into your presence. We're sorry for not coming into your presence on a daily basis. We're sorry, Lord, for not taking the time to read a verse or two or read a little passage. We repent. We apologize to you. You've done everything for us. We love you. We don't want you to think that we are ignoring you. We're sorry that we get caught up in our human busyness and our stress and our distractions. We're sorry for not taking the time personally and making it a priority. You're so merciful. You said you would reward us no matter what. You would reward us for seeking you. And Lord, you'll work everything else out when we seek you. Lord, we just want to say you're important enough for us to go after you and pursue you and seek you out. And Lord, we just right now, we receive your forgiveness. We just receive, you said, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you, cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and wash your heart completely clean, and set you in a new place like it never happened. And Lord, we declare we're in a new place now. There's no barrier. There's no missing out. We're as close to you as we've always been, because that's how your grace is. And Lord, from this time forth, we just want to stay close to you, mm-hmm. and get back on track every time, and keep no space between us. It's you and me and you. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Well, everyone, I thank you, Pastor Don, for the opportunity to share with you today. And we thank you, all of you, for the opportunity and your patience with us.
Yes.
And our back and forth.
We want you to know we love you, and Pastor Don loves you, and God loves you, but Jeff has
announcements for you.
And but he's going to finish it.
He might love you. He might love you, too. He might love you, too.
I'm being told I'm supposed to. Both. I'm going to go with both. So what a great talk. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. Isn't it great to belong to a church where if the pastor has to step away for things like this, that there are elders and leaders who step right up and bring us a word that touches us right in our souls. So I'm going to actually start with tithe and offering, because they led right into it. So here's an opportunity where you, one, get the scripture given, and in this case I'll use given it shall be given unto you. Two, you get it inside you. You believe it. That's the hard part, right? You believe it. And then the second part is you act out on it, which I'm going to ask you to do.